We are about 2 weeks from a new year. I don't know if you've thought about that, but we are looking forward to the year 2019, and there will be a new theme that will be put before us to kind of direct us and help us to focus, and the theme for the next year will be have a particular focus on Jesus. And so in conjunction with that, we're encouraging you this next year to read through the New Testament as a congregation, as a church family, to do that together. And there are schedules on the table in the foyer. But that amount of reading is about, it's five chapters a week. And so it's an amount that is very, very doable. Our plan this year, this coming year, is as we're reading together through the Bible, there will be periodic sermons that I'll give, and I'll preach on what that week's reading was. And we'll have small groups. I know some of the small groups are considering that their lessons each week at their small group meeting will be a discussion of that week's reading. And so, church, this is a good way for us to get into God's Word, get closer to God, closer to Jesus. And so we want to encourage you to do that and be thinking about that and preparing for it. Crown of the Aged. Do you have fond memories of your grandparents? When I think of my grandparents, my mother's parents, a few things I remember about them is when I was young, they would take us to bluegrass festivals on purpose, bluegrass music festivals. And I remember being young, I remember the snacks, the bugle chips, the fiddle faddle. I remember my grandfather and his dry sense of humor. And I remember on my dad's side, my father's parents, being with them, spending a few days with them in the summer, and each morning watching The Price is Right together, each night eating a ceremonial bowl of ice cream every night, and Grandma's famous homemade cherry pie. Grandparents are a blessing to the grandchildren. And the opposite is true also. Grandchildren are a blessing to grandparents. Psalm 128, verse 5 says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children." This is it's a blessing. If you are able to see your children's children, thank God for that. That's a blessing. When I was young, I could watch you older ones get a new grandchild and just go crazy about that and just be so thrilled about it. And when I was young, I didn't quite get it, to be honest. I get it mentally now, and one day, God willing, I'll experience it. But it's a blessing, grandparents, to live to the point where you can experience that. Proverbs 17:6 says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers." This is a neat verse, because what it's saying, it's talking about a circular relationship among generations. When I was young, by the way, the word glory here, the idea is pride. A son or a child glories in their parent, a son and his father. When I was young, I looked up, my father was my hero. It's kind of neat. Yesterday at the widow's brunch, one little snapshot in my mind I took from that was watching David Basu and his two boys. He is their hero. You know what I mean? Boys look to their father that way. It's a neat thing. And this verse is saying a boy might do that to, or a child to their parent, but then the grandparent, who do they glory in, or who is in their heart? And to the grandparent, it's the grandchild. And so these generations are connected. It is a big thing. Yesterday at the brunch, it was a great event, and Ruth Ann is to be commended for leading that this year, and Etta Mae for all the years before, and Wanda for the years before, and whoever before that. But it's good for the young to come and honor the old. And to see the children yesterday honoring the older ones, that's a beautiful sight. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I love that statement. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Grandparents, the greatest gift you can give to your grandchildren is to tell them what you've learned about God.
Amen.
Teach
Amen.
Them about God.
Right.
Tell them how faithful God is. Tell them how God has never forsaken you. Tell them how God always delivers. Tell them how good God is. It's the greatest gift a grandparent can give to a grandchild. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Grandparents, teach your grandchildren about God. Right? And I want to say in this lesson today, I'm talking about both biological relationships, grandparents and grandchildren, biological, and also in our church family. When I walk, you know, when you walk down the halls of our kids' classes, and just as an example, and you know, when we see different, you see different ones teaching, and it's really, it's great, it's a beautiful sight, whoever it is. And from, I'll just give you three examples. Michaela Waller, I know a quarter or two ago was teaching young kids class, and to walk by and see one of our college age young adults teaching our children about God, it's great. To walk by, I see Matt Tucker, a young dad in class teaching young children about God, it's beautiful. And our older ones, seeing Norma and Carol and Etta, and Linda, all these years, you older ones that are teaching your spiritual grandchildren, your spiritual grandchildren about God. It's beautiful. You have so much to teach them, and it's a wonderful thing. We see that in, here's a verse that you're probably familiar with. When Paul's talking to Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. Paul's talking about faith being passed down. That's what, hey, when you have something good, pass it down.
Amen.
Right? And isn't that what we have? So we want to pass that faith down to our children.
Yes.
Psalm, this is a neat verse here from Psalm 92:12. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's strong. They grow strong. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish. They flourish in the courts of our God. Let me pause there for a second. They flourish in the courts of our God. They are planted in the house of the Lord. The truth is, the righteous flourish because their roots and their strength come from being in the house of the Lord. If you look around, those that are pillars in our church. Think of some of the ones that are pillars in our church. Homer and Etta May, Bob and Linda, Norma. The ones that we look up to. They are, it's not that they're here because they're spiritually strong. It's also the opposite. They're spiritually strong because of how often they are in the house of the Lord. It's not the building. It's how often they're near God and near His people. Right? Folks, when you see a strong spiritual person and they are around God's people, they're near God a lot and near God's people a lot, that works both ways. And the picture here is righteous older ones, and they're planted near God. Their strength is from God and God's people.
Yeah.
And then this verse, they still bear fruit in their old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. They still bear fruit. Our older members have great value here. And I'm not going to name any more because I know it it is uncomfortable when I point you out. But older ones, you have such value here. There is so much work that you're doing for God that is so beautiful and wonderful. You have spiritual strength, and it is as strong as it's ever been, stronger in your life. And as your body is losing strength, your spirit is gaining, and you're still here, and you're still producing. Amen. Still producing fruit. And we need it. Your church family looks up to you. You don't realize it as much as we do. Let me ask this question. How often is it that a Christian approaches retirement age and they're thinking about retiring, and as they're thinking about retiring, they're thinking and dreaming of how much more they can do for God now that they're going to be retired? That happens sometimes, but I put that out there to say that's what we need. That's what we need. I remember when Steve Hess was a relatively new member here. You know, he was still working. He wasn't retired yet, and he was driving to Wichita 5 days a week, like a maniac. A lot of times on his scooter, like a true maniac. But he was here when he could be here, and I remember I knew he was about to retire, and I remember thinking and looking forward, this is just me, selfishly for the kingdom, looking forward to him being retired because I believed what he would do when he retired.
That's right.
I believed he would serve the Lord more with more time, and he has. And that's what older ones, when you have so much to give and so much to help in God's kingdom, we need you. And so I pat you on the back and applaud you and say, keep leading us. Keep serving. Titus 2:1, great passage about older ones helping and teaching younger ones. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified. Stephanie and I were celebrating 22 years from this past week, the anniversary of our first date. And we went out 22 years ago and had Chinese food together on our first date. And so for 22 years on that anniversary, that week, we go out and eat Chinese food. So we did that last night. And as we're sitting at the table, there's a family next to us in the booth next to us, two females and a male. They're all relatively young. And they're talking loud enough where we could hear once in a while. And in particular, the profanity that they were using was it was R-rated. And it's unnerving. It's bothersome. It's not dignified. Older ones, us younger ones have lost, the younger generations, we've lost some of our value for dignity. We don't have class like we once did. And you can still teach us. Please teach us, because each generation we lose a little more. And it's getting ridiculous. So, but we need to be taught. This family that was next to me last night, it was bothersome, but I need to be humbled to know they probably didn't have the teaching that I had. They need that. And the man with the young man sitting there, he needs an older man to teach him how to be dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. Older ladies, show our younger ladies how if we don't have anything good to say, we don't say anything. We don't talk bad about people. We don't talk bad. We don't pass on what we've heard that's bad. We don't gossip. We hold our tongue, right? We use our tongue for good, not bad. We need to be taught that, don't we? Not slaves to much wine, they're able to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure. We need more guidance on purity and modesty. Older ladies, the younger ones need more guidance and teaching on modesty. to be taught that it's not that you're ashamed of you or your body or your appearance, that you're hiding anything. It's that you are honoring God in how you dress, and you're blessing your Christian brothers in how you dress, as to not reveal to the point of being temptation. It's about temptation and courtesy, isn't it? So it's love one another. But purity and modesty, we need you older ones guiding us more. Kindness, submissive to your own husbands. We need more of that. That the word of God may not be reviled. And the point here, reviled means to criticize in an insulting way. Church, when the world reads this, it doesn't make sense to them. When the world reads wives submit to their husbands, or things about purity, modesty, returning good for evil, love your enemies, all that. The world reads that and they say that doesn't make any sense. How we live will show the world that this is either good or bad. And so we have to show them why it's good. All right, let's get into this a little bit. Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. We need that plastered everywhere, folks. Gray hair is a crown of glory. We fight so hard. We fight so hard against being old, don't we? We fight against looking old, as if being old is a bad thing. Why is that? We fight. I know we want to have the ability and the strength to take care of ourselves, right? To do for ourselves. That's one thing. But we fight so hard against looking old, because as if being old is a bad thing. And I wonder, if more honor were given the older ones, maybe we wouldn't fight so hard not to look old. Maybe if we honored our older ones more, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing to look old. Leviticus 19:32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God, I am the Lord. Honor. Standing up before someone to greet them because they're older. Respecting. Our culture is so obsessed with physical beauty, we fail to see the beauty in gray hair and wrinkles. And it's part of why I chose this picture. I think most of us, even with that statement being true, that we fail to see beauty in gray hair and wrinkles, we do see beauty in a picture like this. But most of us, as we get older, I look at my hands sometimes and I see, this is Dad's hand. What is this? Where did my hand go? This looks like an old man's hand. We don't like that, do we? We don't like wrinkles. We want to be younger and look younger. Hey, being younger is not all it's cracked up to be, right? And I understand the golden years are, you know, your health is declining, and that's very, very challenging. And that's no insult to young people. Yes, I wish I was younger. But why we fight so much against looking old? That's something to ponder, isn't it? We need to cherish this beauty. The beauty of the aged. We need to cherish it for what it means. It means this person they've lived a little. This person has experienced a little. This person has served a lot. This person has given a lot. Shouldn't that be a badge of honor? Shouldn't it be something we're proud of? Shouldn't it be something that's respected? And so I encourage you, stop fighting it. Embrace it. Embrace your age as a crown. Right?
Amen.
Let your hair go. If it wants to go, let it go. Right? If it wants to be gray, let it be gray. I'm just saying. We need more honor. Okay. 1 Timothy 5:3. The widows who are truly widows. Paul's talking about taking care of spiritual family and earthly family. Take care of our older ones. And when he says truly widows, he's talking about those in the church family that don't have a physical family to care for them. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. And the point being, for the older ones in the church family, if they have biological children, grandchildren capable of helping with their needs, then they should do that. That's the first option. And because us who are younger, we owe the ones who are before us, don't we? They cared for us, so we should make a return to them. But we'll have some in the church family that don't have physical family that can care for them. In church, that's where we step forward. And we say, you are our family, and we will take care of you. Old people are owed. O-W-E-D. We owe them, don't we? We owe them respect. We owe them honor. We owe them service. And I'll leave you with this. When my father's mother was getting up in years and to the point where she was losing her mind and not physically able to care for herself anymore, and needed care around the clock, my father and aunt found a nursing facility that was suitable and that would be good, and they moved her there. And some of you know what that experience is like, and it's difficult. But in doing so, her mind had gone to the point that even when they moved her there, which this was a blessing, she never realized that she wasn't home, if that makes sense. She never asked, when can I go home? And so she was there 13 years. And during those 13 years, the decision was made from day one that dad, he decided, and his sister, that he would go 3 days a week and see her there, and sister would go 3 days a week, and they would call on the one that they didn't. And he did that. And as he would do that during those early years, she would recognize him, but she might not know who he was. Sometimes she thought he was her dad. She knew him but didn't know him. And then about the last 7 or so years, she didn't know him at all. Didn't know him from you or I, just anyone walking in off the street. Did not know who he was even after explaining who he was. But he kept going. And then the last couple years did not respond, gave no response at all that he was in the room. So there was no human response at all, not responsive. And he still went. 3 times a week, every week, until she passed. Now, why would a person do that? Why would you go visit your mother when she doesn't even know you're there? And the answer is, you do it because that's how you honor her. We owe those that are older, we owe them. And we owe them honor, we owe them service, we owe them respect. And so I hope with this lesson today, maybe a little bit more to the younger ones of us, may we honor the older ones more. May we honor them more. May we show them more respect. To the older ones, we need you more than you know. We need your leadership. We need you to show us. Show us by example. Teach us. Teach the younger ones. Keep leading. We need each other, don't we?
Yes.
And may we look at old age as something not to be dreaded, but something to be proud of because of how we're honored. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And you may be here this morning, and if there's something heavy on your heart you'd like us to lift up to God with you, we'd love to do that. There may be someone here this morning, and we sing songs about God and about heaven, but you know you're not ready. We'd love to help you change that today. And if there's something we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.
There's about